Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. We have a championship series. The Adelaide 36ers are going to take on the Sydney Kings. It's going to be a ripper. We obviously want to talk Opals. It's been a huge week in basketball. Hello, Botond. How are you, my friend? Have you still got your sexy voice?
I don't know if I've still got my sexy voice, but I've still got my throaty voice. Yeah. Look, it's been a fantastic week. I mean, there's been some tragedy too, but in terms of finally having the championship series settled, let's face it, over the course of the season, Sydney and Adelaide finished 1-2. So yep. that's what you want to see. You want to see 1-2 actually in the final. You got to give these other teams a chance, and that's what the finals is all about.
But 1-2 dream. Promoter's dream, yeah. Bryce versus KD, X-teams against each other, the whole thing, it's fantastic. But we do want to start with, as you said, some sad news this week, and Ken Cole, I want to start with Ken, actually extremely friendly with my dad, played basketball many years. My dad never played at the highest level, but he knew Ken really well, speaks very, very fondly with him. I remember back in the day, I think it was 85, I can't remember what year it was, he was coaching Sydney and I had a bit to do with it and going to all the games back then. Such a lovely man, just, you know, the stories are amazing. I know you've known him for a lot of years, Bonnie, but really sad, been struggling and fighting the dreaded cancer for a number of years, and he passed away this week. Our condolences, love, thoughts with the family, and Body, we lost a good one.
Yeah, we did, and actually, in the moment that I heard the news, the first thing I thought, and I know this is probably not smart of me, but the first thing I thought was Adelaide will win game three. Like the moment I heard, because he's been so much a part of the fabric of the 36ers since that 86 team. So he actually, you said 85. I think it would have been 87.
I knew it was around then.
So I just thought that because he's coached their finest, the team that had the greatest result of any season, 24-2 in 1986, and that he's been a presence at all their home games. He's got a seat where he sits and everyone knows where that is. And they did a tribute to him. And I just felt that he's been very ill for a very long time. So it didn't come as a shock to those of us that know him quite well. But as soon as it happened, I thought, you know what, that the 36ers will use this, and because I didn't think there was much between them and South East Melbourne going into that game three, but ultimately I thought from tip off they were going to win that. Absolutely.
Well, we will come to that because we always we'll talk obviously NBL, but we always start with the women. And we're gonna do this again. The Australian Opals, obviously, we spoke last week. They had five games that they're going to play in Turkey. They have played those five games. They have gone 5-0, and they have done a tremendous job to take care of what they needed to take care of. So we had wins over Argentina, Japan, Hungary, the host Turkey, as I said, and also Canada. Body, what did you think? None of it unexpected, but you still had to win.
Well, the thing is that they've already qualified, having won the Asia Cup, they've already qualified for the World Cup. So in competing in this, as the USA did in a different group, you know, there are teams that have already qualified. Germany, as the host nation, already qualified. They played in these tournaments, but more from that point of view, it was just preparation, just meaningful games, because the other teams are playing for spots at the World Cup in September in Berlin. So for us, this was a chance to play meaningful games, but the results didn't matter. So for them to go through 5-0, and bear in mind that last game against Canada was the team we played for the bronze medal at the last World Cup. Yeah. So it's a quality team. And we played that game without two starters. Ezzy Magbegor and Steph Talbot were both injured and missed that game. So it was down to a 10-player rotation, and players like Chloe Bibby really sort of thrived in that opportunity to get extra minutes. And I just think we showed our depth. And to beat that team, as I said, that's the team we beat for a bronze medal. So they're not a bunch of, you know, no hopers. That was a significant win. And Sammy Whitcomb and Alana
Smith.
Yeah,
she was good, Smith, wasn't she?
Yeah. And Alana, they've really stamped themselves. I think there's those two, and then there's probably Steph Talbot and Ezzy Magbegor that you just automatically go, okay, those four are starting for us.
Yep.
And
yep,
then the fifth one, she's Sandy Brondello has decided to sort of go with Alex Wilson. And I think she's got Alex Wilson as a point guard. And I'm going to tell you now, Alex Wilson is not a point guard. So if you want to say, okay, she's a shooting guard, I'll tell you now, she's not a shooting guard. If you want to say she's a small forward, I'll tell you now, she's not a small forward. I'll tell you what she is. She's a bloody good basketball player. Okay? Whatever role you want to give her, that's what she's going to do. So these people that are saying, oh, she's the best point guard in Australia or whatever, I don't believe that. I don't even think she's the best point guard in the Perth Lynx team. But she is an incredibly valuable player and a smart player. And I think her elevation has it's sort of been like a bit of a backhander for Jade Melbourne. She's had to pick up her game. She was in a lot of foul trouble in a couple of games because the fouls they don't call on her in the WNBL, they do call on her in FIBA. So, you know, I think it was a wonderful performance all around from that team. And Sandy should be well pleased because there are kids on the fringe of that you'd expect, mate, will be up there for selection. So that team is taken to the World Cup. Will be a chance to win a medal.
Yeah, and we'd like to see that happen, obviously, because we've always been blessed, I guess, with the Opals is the right words, going back many years to be able to get that. So it will be interesting to see what happens, I guess, now moving forward.
Yeah. Well, it all started in 1994, at the first time we had a world championship in Australia, and Tom Maher got them to the medal rounds for the first time, and then by 96 in Atlanta, they were winning medals in 2000 and 98, you know, all that. So that's where it started. And since then,
it's a long time to be at the top of your game. I mean, obviously the US are the top, but still, like, we're right there, and I still remember the silver medal that we won at the 2000 Olympics. That was amazing.
Well, we're still ranked number two in the world, even though France played off for the gold medal in at the Paris Olympics. But we did beat France in that tournament as well.
Yeah.
You know, so the Opals have done us proud. You know, I think the Matildas these days get a hell of a lot of publicity, and deservedly so. They're a wonderful team to watch. But I think it bothers me that the Opals are a little bit in their shadow now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, when you look at a girl like Lauren Jackson, what she's done in her career, you'd argue one of the greatest basketballers ever, you know, and I'm not just, you know, like with female and male, I'm saying ever now. I know that's a crazy statement, but it's not really. What she's been able to achieve is pretty much unbelievable in the WNBA.
And they win a gold medal in 2006, and Penny Taylor is MVP of the tournament.
Yeah.
So it's like, we've had a prolonged period of success, which I don't think the general Australian public recognises or acknowledges. As much as I love the Matildas, I adore Sam Kerr. She's as good a player in soccer as Lauren was in basketball. Yeah. But, you know, it bothers me a little bit that the Opals don't get quite the coverage.
The recognition. Fair call. All right, well, that's it for the women's. Obviously, we will be now.
Before we leave, we should say Sammy Whitcomb was MVP of the tournament.
Oh yes, forgot. Yes, good point. Yes, good point. It was weird not seeing her in the WNBL this year. I got to be honest with you, but you know, she was obviously playing and doing a fabulous job. All right, well, let's go over to the men's. It started a week ago when the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix had to take on the Adelaide 36ers in a semi-final series and the Sydney Kings take on the Perth. Now, if we remember correctly, I think I predicted Sydney to win I think I said two, but I certainly said Southeast to win in three. I knew that. And well, I was wrong, and I will accept that. And I will take nothing away from Adelaide because they were amazing. So let's talk game by game. The first game was semi-final game one, obviously, Adelaide at home versus Southeast. They win 104-97. It's the first time Adelaide played in a home final, did you? Since 2018, buddy. And Bryce Cotton had 24 points. Bryce Cotton had 24 points in the first half. And it was the biggest crowd ever for just over 10,000 people. What a game. Bryce finished with 42 on only 25 shots, mind you. What a game, man. That thing was electric.
Yeah, and Adelaide gets it by 7 points, but at no point did you feel, if you're a 36ers fan, oh, we've got this. You know, it really went down to the wire and just a couple of missed shots, a couple of made shots right at the death. So that was, you know, I don't think Southeast Melbourne went back to Melbourne thinking, oh, we're dead in the water.
No.
But
you know what I did find? Well, go on.
I was going to say, even though in the first half they gave up an 18-point, you know, lead to Adelaide, you know, that's stiff.
What I found amazing is Southeast, who had some big scores this year, right? They scored 97 in game one, 101 in game two and won it, but that was being down by 18, and that was, you know, on the back of a 39 third quarter, right?
Yeah.
And they only scored 96 in game three. So, but anyway, we'll stay with this series at the moment. So as you said, Southeast went home, and Nathan Sobey, 41 points on 27 shots, 8 of 16 from the three-point line. Unbelievable. Like I said, 39-20. They outscored them by 19 points. Adelaide led by 18, as you said. It's their biggest comeback for the season. What a time for Nathan Sobey to have a career night.
Yeah, absolute career high. And I did feel that this is one of those instances where I've said sometimes what worries me about Adelaide is Mike Wells' coaching. And I felt that was the case in this game with Isaac Humphries, who started off, scored the first two baskets of the game, including a dunk.
Yeah.
So he's feeling good about life, picks up two fouls, and we sit him down because that's what coaches do these days. They're frightened of that third foul. And then basically,
it's not a problem if you're only playing 7 minutes. You're not going to get any more fouls. I can see that.
For the whole game, you ended up playing six.
Look, I'm torn a bit on this body because I thought Nick Rakosevich has been brilliant for both games. All three, really, but just talking those, you know, the second and third game. And I listened to Coach Wells' presser because I love listening to the pressers, right? And I listened to his pressers afterwards. And the thing was, is, you know, like I was going with Rakosevich. I went with Zylan Cheatham. They played and I didn't want to make the change. I don't have a problem with that, but I do when you're talking about Isaac Humphries. Isaac Humphries, yeah, he's a very emotional style player. Yeah, he's an emotional type of player. And that type of guy, you're not going to be like, he doesn't in most times react better that way. You know, some players will be coming out and doing that. Now, to his credit, if we go to game three, to both credit, actually, you know, like, I just felt, thank God, he started him. He played 20 minutes. He had 13 points. He had 3 rebounds, couple of blocks. He played really well that game. Now, he could have, he could have just sulked. And I'm not saying he did. Yeah. I'm saying he could have just sulked and gone, well, bugger you, I want out of this. This is ridiculous.
Come on, Brad, if you're this close to a championship, you don't sulk.
I'm just giving him credit, to be honest.
And
with
I want
you.
To like, give Mike Wells credit, as bad as I thought that was, because I thought, even though you said, oh, yeah, I wanted to go with Rakosevich and Cheatham, the reality was Humphries was playing well when he was on the court, so you could have gambled and played him some more. So I don't buy that entirely. However, I will give him credit for the fact that John Jenkins has been stinking it up since the first couple of games, and he had the balls to sit him down for game three and say, Dijan Vasiljevic,
That is the masterstroke. Just staying on game two as well, I just very quickly, 6 offensive rebounds for John Brown. They had 18 in total and they still lost. You know, Adelaide lost. You got to take care of that. If you're not doing that, you're going to struggle. In game three, they still gave up 13, but it's not as much. 15, but it's not as much. But I just felt, Bryce Cotton, man, are we just blessed? Now, you've been around for a long time, buddy, and I know I'm saying this. Like when I think of the first two players that ever come to mind when I think the greatest is Leroy and Andrew, right?
Yeah.
Are we talking about Bryce yet there?
I'm not. Because what I've never seen – what I've never seen before is a scoring machine like Bryce. I'll give you that.
Okay.
But if we go right back to Al Green, Al Green was a scoring machine. You know, he was the mean machine back there. So you've got to go a long time back to see somebody that was comparable. But Al wasn't as devastating as Bryce can be. But the thing I don't like about Bryce is the acting. I mean, I don't like that with any player. And I think he excessively has flopped this year. And I think that the players that were defending him got very frustrated that people with whistles were giving him calls he didn't deserve. Now, on the flip side, he gets the most attention all the time.
A lot of it is not good,
but I don't think you make up for that by exaggerating the situation. So, look, the guy was unbelievable. In three games, he scored 109 points, Brad. You know, you have to go back a long time to find that in
That's
any three
finals
games.
That's a season for me, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, but you've got to go back to guys like Robert Rose and Andrew Gaze, and that was in the 48-minute era.
So, if I'm not mistaken, and you're the don of all of this stuff, has Adelaide and Sydney never played in a playoff game?
I don't recall one. I recall they played some very important games.
Oh, always, but I have a feeling this could be it now. Obviously, Sydney Kings get home court advantage, and we'll talk to that first because I want to talk about the Sydney-Perth series first. But
of course, we haven't got very good memories because last year Adelaide played Sydney in a knockout game.
Good call. I'm actually talking in a three-game semi-final or a five-game grand final. I don't think I've seen that as well. But good point that you made.
Xavier Cooks pulled out at the last minute because of his cocaine situation that erupted at a bad time. So that worked in Adelaide's favour, I would have thought.
Yeah. So okay. Just before we stay there, so I want to say 108-96, game three. Bryce Cotton, 38 points, brilliant. You said DJ, 27. Shout out to Ian Clark, 32 points. He kept them terrific in that game.
Yes.
Nathan Sobey, wow, what a tough game for him. That poor guy, man. They were booing before he touched the damn thing, mate. I listened to Coach Wells in the presser because I love listening to those, as I said. Mate, even he said, like, that is why you – no, sorry, they asked Coach Josh King, did you have a problem with the booing? And he said, absolutely not. That's why you fight all year to get home court advantage. I thought it was brilliant, and it's what you want to play with. Kudos to Josh King for saying that, because every time Nathan touched the ball, it was loud booings. I don't know how you play under that. Like, he struggled with that. That was difficult.
He absolutely struggled with it. Well, he did bring it on himself in game two with that incident with Flynn Cameron on the floor where his arm and elbow were across Flynn's neck.
Yeah, but that's playoffs, buddy.
I know that. I'm not saying that.
No, I know what you're saying. And Rukosevich got booed in Melbourne. Like, I get it. You know what I mean? There's no issues there. John Brown, I thought, had another good game.
Yeah, they just didn't let up on Nathan. The crowd just did not let up. And look, it affected him. There's no way you can say it didn't affect him.
The other thing I also want to say, buddy, is I thought they did a really good job on Wes Uwundu, right? They did a really good job. That guy was, you know, averaging some, you know, 12 points a game at 42% and 35% from the threes during the season. He got 7 points, 38% and 21% from the three. He is one of those guys. I didn't think he could win it for them doing anything, but he's one of those guys that just keeps them in the game, and he just did knock them down. What I thought was amazing, though, Adelaide shot 65 shots and scored 108 points. Southeast Melbourne, 86 shots, 21 more. Now, I know people listening to this will go, well, yeah, but Adelaide shot 31 three foes to Southeast 13. Yes, but majority of them, not all of them, were fouls. But I just thought that is just such a huge discrepancy. And Adelaide absolutely killed Southeast on the boards, 52-31.
There's two things I'd want to mention. The first is the reason they get so many shots up is because they come down and just gun it up. There's so many offenses where you're taking a bit of a run at the opposition. You've got it back to, say, 11, and you want to get it under single figures. Let's run a good offense and go.
Bang, bang, bang. And that's the reason when you look at the foul of the differentials in the differentials in rebounding. If you're shooting 21 more shots and you get 19 more defensive rebounds, it really says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you're just shooting too many and you're just giving Adelaide the ball back.
Yeah.
So it was a tough game.
That's one point I want to make. The other point I want to ask you is we've enjoyed watching the way Southeast Melbourne play up the floor and, you know, run and gun, et cetera. But is that sustainable throughout the entire regular season and the entire finals? Because I reckon I felt in game one, they didn't look themselves. For the first half of game two, they didn't look themselves. Second half, they did. And game three, they didn't look themselves. Now, it's almost like, have they hit the wall?
Well, my answer to that is, I think it is sustainable when they play the defense they did. But I didn't see that in game three. I didn't see the defense. Like, you know, after game one, Bryce could do what he wanted. Game three, Bryce could do what he wanted, like step backs going to the left, hitting the three-pointer on the half court, at half time and things like that.
Amazing.
Or quarter time or whenever it was. Like, it's brilliant, but that is Bryce. Like, why? You know, I didn't see, you know, like, Bryce got bumped, but I didn't see him get hit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't seem like, you know, you're not coming through. Like, if I go back to that Sydney Kings, you know, during the season, Bull Quall manhandled him. Like, literally, whether illegal or illegal.
I know, you think that's good defense. I think it's thuggery. But, well,
but they got away with it, right? And that's how you win a game. And I just didn't think, you know, after Bryce, you said he scored 100 and something points.
109 in three games.
Right. Like, that's just... I don't know, but you know, again, you just got to give credit to it's an amazing effort. Amazing effort. Yeah, but, yeah, he is.
But, you know, Sydney, now let's go to the other series, Sydney and Perth. I thought, you know, you score 104 points and you lose. I think Perth would be sort of lamenting a couple of, even they had a last shot, a second shot, a third shot at it before Dele had the rebound. So, they really got them. No one but themselves to blame for not pinching game one in Sydney.
Yep.
And then you go to game two without Dylan Windler. Well, you're pretty much buggered.
Look, I was lucky enough to call both games. I was in Sydney and I thought Perth did an amazing job, did everything they could to win that game. Sydney came out a little bit flat. You could see they weren't at their absolute best. Kendrick Davis, 35 points, you know, a lot of free throws. Doolittle, man, he was unbelievable. His way that he played was so outstanding that they had no choice but to change it up and put Dellavedova on him, and Deli was great. Deli did a good job. Yeah.
Yeah, well that's when we get to my Nodge Nasty, that, you know, I'm gonna revisit what you just said, right? Because I felt anyway, let's move on and give me a best play, because we saw some outstanding
passes. Well, my best play is game one of the Perth series, where Malawach goes up and blocks JLA. Now, this is a very close game at that stage. JLA goes up, looks like he's just about to dunk it. Easy two, game's done, bang, blocks, ball, kick, KD hits a three, five-point turnaround, and the Kudos Bank Arena absolutely erupted. It was just phenomenal, and wow. Wow, was that? That was without a doubt the player of the day for me. Couldn't have got any better.
Yeah, for me, the player of the day of the round of the semifinals was the third quarter of Nathan Sobey's in game two, when he just was unconscious, hit 17 points, and asked to sub out because he missed his last two shots, and I think he was just getting a bit fatigued. So, you know, that might have interrupted how good his numbers were in terms of percentages, because he couldn't do anything. And so
he shot 6 of 10 from the field in that quarter alone, 4 of 6 from the 3-point line.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why it was really important, I suppose, that the crowd got on him in game three, because it definitely messed with him. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah.
That was.
Give me your give me your Nodge Nasty. You were speaking a little bit about that.
Well, my Nodge Nasty is in the playoffs. Success is, you know, like you got quality teams playing each other. Success is predicated by your ability to change things on the run, the adjustments that you make. Mm-hmm. Now, in game one of Sydney Perth, Brian Gorgian made an adjustment. He put Matthew Dellavedova, smaller but chunkier, on Christian Doolittle, athlete, taller, and he did the job. Deli did the job. Mm. You know, Doolittle shoots the ball and Deli steps up to him, gives him a little of the Deli belly, misses the shot. He starts to get – that happened in game one towards the end. Now, if I'm John Reilly, I go into game two and go, they're going to do that. They're absolutely going to do that. Mm-hmm. So instead of you playing him out on the wing or at the top of the key where he has the physical advantage, we're going to put you down on a low block. You know, we're just going to run a little screen with you and JLA. And you just turn around and shoot it over the top of him.
Mm.
That adjustment was not made. They didn't make that adjustment. And the game starts. Gorge sits down Malawach and says, Deli, you start. Get in the Christian Doolittle's face. And he does. And they win comfortably. And Doolittle, you know, that's my nasty. I was disappointed in John Reilly that he didn't make an adjustment, because Doolittle got all caught up in trying to beat Dellavedova, and mate, the objective is to win the game and get to the championship.
Well, just as you said there, what he's, you know, sitting Malawach, which was an interesting one, and then you look at the way it is. I want to throw out to Malawach, 23 points in one of his best games that he ever played. KD was great with 27, but Malawach, well, that was a career high for him coming off the bench, and that was brilliant. But like you said, losing Dylan Windler, that was never going to happen. Okay, my Rosen Rattler. Is I am nervous that a flop is going to cause a major issue. Now, I'm saying at a fast-paced game that this game is, I don't always blame the referees on the flops. Now, there's that fine line where you've got to exaggerate the call so you get it. But what's going to happen is God forbid not, and I go like, you know, different sports and stuff. If you flop or do something really shit, excuse the language, and that gets you a free throw or a play at the end of the game to win it, man, you don't want to be in that. All right. And I'm starting to get nervous. It's getting, these flops are getting a little bit worse and worse. And some of them, it's like, oh my goodness, come on, this has got to stop. There was one last night with the Ian Clark where it like, whoa, I didn't even know if he even, you know, like that was, it's starting to become,
Ian got the foul. So you're talking about Bryce Cotton flying all over the place like Superman.
Yeah. And I don't blame Bryce for what he's doing. He's getting hit 50 times. But it's this fine line. And all I'm worried about, and that's the thing I'm saying here, is I am concerned that someone is going to do something that's actually going to come back to bite them. And you know, this social media and all this crap that goes on nowadays, you know, this flop and everything and all of that stuff. I just don't want that to happen to someone. I want basketball to be the winner, right? And that's my I'm nervous for that body because I feel players feel they've got to exaggerate it.
I also felt there are a couple of Southeast Melbourne players who really responded to Bryce Cotton a couple of times with a couple of calls that he got in his favour. They sort of looked at him as though, mate, you are such a champion. You are such a star. You don't need to do that bullshit. You really don't need to do that bullshit. And I felt that. I thought, well, that's a superstar maybe losing a little bit of respect from his peers. But, you know, I in Sydney, I know you don't like me saying this, but Kendrick Davis is one of the biggest floppers going around.
Mate, I can go through every team. Oh, I shouldn't say that. That's probably a bit I'm not singling Bryce out last night. I'm not seeing Angus Glover. You know, there was talk about him and, you know, always about CG 43s. Yeah. And so all of these, you know, they're all, everyone gets accused of it. And I don't have a problem. Mate, I took some dives. I'm not going to lie, right? You know, like no question. That's what it did. Mind you, if someone sneezed, I'd fall over. I was that type of player. But still am, by the way, and just not around the stomach area. Yeah. But I just don't want that to be the bit that you speak about after the game.
No, that's all I'm getting at. You're quite right. Yes, exactly. You want, what you want to be is you mentioned it earlier, the press conferences of the coaches. Now, I have been taping those because I've had a real problem with insomnia, and that is a cure.
On that note, hang on, before we go, who's winning? And by how many?
I'm expecting the Sydney Kings to win it in four games. I think it'll go with home for the first three. And then the fourth game, I think Sydney with knowing that they've got one in the bank at Qdos Bank Arena for game five, I think they'll get game four.
Nah, I'm saying it's going game five, buddy. I think we have two outstanding teams, great changes, great. This is my theory. I know what you're saying. And I just think, you know, one of the things, bar injuries, bar something changing, right? I'm just saying. So just so we know, game one, this Saturday night, Qdos Bank Arena. Game two, the following Friday, Adelaide. Game three, the 2 days afterwards on the Sunday, back in Sydney, game four on the Wednesday, April Fool's Day, not just saying there, and game five yet to be announced. So they haven't confirmed any of that yet. But, yes, it will be a fantastic series. We got what we wanted. The two best teams are playing off for the grand final.
Yes.
Oh, MVP one versus MVP two, Coach of the Year versus Mike Wells, like Rakosevich versus Torrey Craig.
Those guys have been really good.
Brilliant, yeah. You know, Delhi going up against Flynn Cameron and others and Malawatch. And, oh, man, this thing is Xavier Cooks and Zylan Cheetah, man. Isaac Humphries, DJ, came on off probably his best game of the season.
I thought he was outstanding. I mean, we think about his offense in that game, but he was very smart with a lot of his decisions.
Totally.
When he fouled or when he chose to foul to sort of break up an attack, I thought he was very, very clever, played a very intelligent game.
Love it. Mate, you are a champion. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week after we watch a couple of games, and we'll be talking on who it's going to be. What we know is we don't know anything. Botond, love you, mate. Have a good week.
So what do you reckon, Brad? Do you think Nathan Sobey, anticipating what might happen in Game 3 in Adelaide. Did he ring Chris Goulding and ask him for some tips on how to handle it?
Buddy, don't be silly. No way.
He rang Mark Bradkey.